I got some things on my heart, so. Well, one thing is I see a move within the Protestant church of eliminating Israel. And you've got to step back from that because we owe everything to the Jews.
Amen.
Jesus Christ was a Jew. Every spiritual blessing that we have comes from the Jews. The Jews gave us, and I just find this so amazing, the Lord gave everything to Moses, who was a Jew. All of that has come down to us. I just stagger over that. We get our understanding of a true and living God from our Bibles. Don't forget that. The first Christians were Jewish believers. Also, the first missionaries were Jewish. Remember, Jesus was a Jew who died on Passover, rose again from the dead on another Jewish holy day, and that was Pentecost. Be in Israel when that day comes around. It's very interesting. If there had been no Jews, there'd be no church. And sometimes we fall into that category. Well, we've got it and no one else does. But that's not true. By the grace of God, we have anything. When I was 10 years old, my mother used to take me to the movies all the time because it was her escape way. But they always had newsreels. This is back in the days when no television. How old am I? I'm very old. But I remember seeing the ovens and from the concentration camps when I was a kid. And it really, really disturbed me. How could human beings treat other human beings in that way? But one of Hitler's ways of was trying to get rid of the Ten Commandments, the law, because he didn't like it. So he figured if he could kill off all the Jews, he would have gotten rid of it. So he went for 5 million. That wasn't all the Jews. So it got the world's attention, though. That's why they were, from the English, were given that little tiny strip over there called Israel, about the size of New Jersey. So it was very small. But it took 5 million down payment. But then I'm way off the subject. You have to bear with me. It's a pet peeve of mine. Ezekiel 37, to me, as a child seeing that and then reading this in Ezekiel 37, I just read a few verses here. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me in the spirit of the Lord and set me down on the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Now you thought that was a Negro spiritual. It's far more than that. It's very true. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many, many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together and bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. And I'll skip part of that, then down to verse 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say, behold, O people, I will come upon your graves because you come up from your graves and bring into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. That was a wonderful, wonderful verses for me after I had seen so many dead people that God is going to do a work. So what is this thing called anti-Semitism? Where does that come from? Why do people hate Jews? And the big thing is, I don't think people really hate Jews, but Satan does. And he wants to get rid of them. Why would Satan want to get rid of them? Because they would then make God out to be a liar. If you can't get rid of them, that was his whole idea. It will happen again. There'll be a real bloodbath in the end times under the Antichrist, but we're not going to worry about that. I don't plan to be here. Anyway, Warren Wiersbe said in his book, D-Day, Destruction Day, had arrived for the Jews, and it had been appointed by Haman's decree for the slaughter of God's chosen people in the empire. Again, this is very similar to Hitler, very similar to others that have tried to take them out. And praise God for God. But Mordecai added a decree and charged that destruction would be turned to deliverance. That's just wonderful. They didn't even pick the day that they were all going to be killed off. That was Haman's doing. So they didn't have any say in it until Mordecai added to it. Well, the Jews had permission then to fight back. You know, otherwise they would have just been slaughtered. And there have been bodies everywhere. Well, they had 9 months to prepare. That was the best part. Because you have to remember, when they were dragged off to Babylon and every place else, they had no weapons. They were arrested. In fact, they had no way of fighting back if they were going to make eunuchs out of them, or slaves, or maids, or whatever. They just simply had to go along with it. No fighting back. And so this is wonderful that Mordecai has added that edict onto the kings. So the Jews have now 9 months to prepare. They just simply didn't have any weapons. Those are the things that you have to remember. But in 9 months, they accomplished a great deal. And in fact, I think, you know, we had a list of ironies last week I gave you. But the one that just slays me is the fact that they now can fight back. But God had given them even a greater weapon than swords, and that was, he instilled fear into those Gentiles. So the greatest irony is the fact that so many of them converted to Judaism. I just love that. You can't fight them, join them. But this fear of the Jews fell upon them, and they had a real fear for Mordecai. And God had allowed that fear to be set into those Gentiles. This has happened quite a few times in Scripture, where the fear, remember when they were coming out of Egypt, there was places that saw them coming and they said, oh, there are too many. We can't do anything. They're going to run us over. And this happened between Jacob at Shechem, Rahab, the harlot, with the two Jewish spies. And they heard about the fear. The people had great fear of the Jews. So Israel had paralyzed the nations of Canaan by their reputation. Isn't that amazing? I don't think they really grasped that, but it was true. Now, why were they coming in to destroy Canaan? Simply because Canaan were worshiping idols, idolatry, and sexual idolatry, and so on. And God had brought judgment on them. So if God brings judgment on somebody, you've got to listen up to it. One of the problems with our world today is that there's no fear of God before people's eyes. You know, do we have to have another 9/11 before we say, oh, we're vulnerable? You know, it just, we don't get a grasp of it, how fragile our lives really are. So, no fear of the Lord. And so they're like Pharaoh in the Old Testament. And this is why you need to know the Old Testament. Pharaoh would say, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Who's the Lord? I'll go play tennis today. No, I think I'll do a little golf today. No, I'm not going to obey the Lord. And that isn't the words that they use, but that is what happens. I was just thinking of how much do they say in us, the church, and we're all kinds of churches, so I'm not picking on anybody. Would they come to your church and fall down and worship the Lord because they sense the presence of God there? I think that's so sobering to think about. Is God really truly among us? See, because the fear of God protects those who fear God. But remember, the fear of God protects also those who believe in God's promises. Because the Jews believed Mordecai, they had new courage and were not afraid of the enemies, their enemies, and their courage put fear into the hearts of the Gentiles. I don't know about you, but Esther, you just get to one point and you think, wow, can't they see that? Can't they know that? God is so busy behind the scenes. So I hope you caught all of that. Today we have those that are going to foreign lands. I'm not supposed to tell you where my kids are, or what they're doing, let me see, or some other people. It would be hazardous to their health if I did. But you all know where they are, so don't go telling everybody. And then their kids are now missionaries in Indonesia, so that's all good, just good. And they're coming home soon. I can already wait. So the deputies and governors and officers of this kingdom throughout the empire, remember how large it is, it's enormous, were in such awe of Mordecai. Now, who put that into Mordecai except the Lord himself? But Mordecai was such a good guy. He helped the Jews and he defended them against the Persians. Remember, too, Mordecai used his authority to do the will of God. It used to be the world was afraid of the church, and I can remember that, but prior to 60s, perhaps 50s and before, the church was a real threat. It was to government, it was to how laws were passed, but we've lost that. And the church has become afraid of the world. Yeah. You don't want to be called homophobe or whatever else the words are out there, and we've become afraid of it. And that's just not, should not be. Instead of being the conquerors, we're prisoners. No wonder the world has no fear of God. And then we're not to use the weapons of the world. That is, boy, that's really off. And remember when we studied the armor of God a couple of times? So important. That's what you're to use. And what does it say mostly? Pray without ceasing. And the embarrassing thing is when we do use world's methods. One of my pet peeves, mine, don't blame anybody else, is when a church is run like a business. God, that really, really bothers me. Because we're to be on our knees before the Lord. And we're to wear the whole armor of God. We're not supposed to be there entertaining people. Anyway, those are some of my pet peeves. Well, the Persians were to attack the Jews. When they did, they were really cooperating with Haman. And who was Haman? Well, that was such an important factor. He was an Amalekite. God gave the job to wipe out all the Amalekites to Saul. And Saul decided to save the king, because if he could bring the king back, look at all the people would just think he's so wonderful. And then if they could see those sheep, well, then he could offer those sheep and sacrificially. And wouldn't God be happy about that? No, because it's all disobedience, and we studied those verses. God doesn't want that. He wants our obedience. And I've just so appreciated our music gals for coming up with trusting and obeying so many times. Because that's my song. Yeah. When I didn't know a word of scripture, I kept singing that song over in my head. Realized the only way I was going to be happy in Jesus was to trust and obey. If you want to read more about the Amalekites, that's found in 1 Samuel 15. In Shushan, the capital of Persia, the Jews were really strong with Haman. They thought they were going to win real easy because there were so many of them, so few of them and so many Persians. They killed 800 of their enemies alone. Why would they dare to attack where the queen and Mordecai lived? They had something going with Haman, I think. Now, this is just sheer just thinking, my thinking, which isn't always too good. But I think Haman was so rich. And it bothered me. How did he get so rich? And I think he got rich off the Jews. And in the capital, he was helping his friends get rich too. So here was this new deal. If you killed off the Jews, you could take their property or you could take whatever they owned. Haman was really a bad guy. But I think there was something going on there. And you say, what verse are you claiming? I don't know. It's just kind of it just fits together. Since the Jews were not the aggressors, this is, oh, please, if you get nothing else out of Esther, the Jews were not the aggressors. They were only going to defend themselves. And that had been deeded to them through that edict. It means that the 10 sons of Haman had taken up arms against the Jews. Queen Esther wanted all of them slain. Very wise decision. Not only that, but because they were Amalekites. And God, a long time ago, wanted those people out of the way because of the things that they had done. But then they were hung on Haman's gallows. And don't ask me how they did it. I don't know. A bunch of bodies hanging, but they were killed prior to being hung on those gallows. And I think the reason the queen wanted them hung on the gallows, it was so that everybody could see them, and that would be a deterrent. It would be. You can just think about those things and come up with your own answers. She didn't want them to cause further trouble. And that could have happened very easily because they killed off Haman, their father. And they might rise up against the king and whoever else, the queen too. Isn't it a great story? I tell you, Esther is just so great. Well, the Jews didn't take any spoil. Why was that? Well, you remember that's how Saul got into trouble, because he took spoil. And then I was thinking about Achan when they went into Ai. Achan had taken stuff out of Jericho and hid it under his tent. And so they didn't have any success in Ai because that was direct disobedience. And that was another thing God had told them very specifically then. So now they're not going near the spoil. What? Why? And then the beautiful thing is, they wanted to prove to the Gentiles that they were only interested in their lives. That is such a neat thing. They weren't out for the wealth. They only wanted to protect themselves. So then the Jews established the Feast of Purim to remind their children and themselves year after year that God had saved the Jews from destruction. Now everybody say Pur.
Pur.
See, you're speaking Persian. I don't think you can count that as another language, but you're not a kitty cat either. But Pur isn't, that's when you cast a lot, when you gamble. So, and God's in charge of that. There's a verse in Proverbs, I can't remember which one it is. 16:33. That's such a neat verse. God's in charge of even that. So those 9 months that the Jews needed in order to make swords and other things to defend themselves, they had time because God gave them time through the purr. So anyway, you can go home and say you can speak another language today. Anyway, Haman got the date that way, and it was so good for the Jews because then they could arm themselves. Well, purr is a Persian word. Just remember that. It means lot. Haman had cast lots to determine the date the Jews would be destroyed. The date to celebrate Purim needed to be sorted out, though, because those down in the capital were celebrating it one day, and others over here someplace else were celebrating it another day. Mordecai sent out a letter saying, we're going to get this thing right. We're all going to celebrate it the same day. And then the queen backed it up with another letter to say, we're going to celebrate it a particular day. And to this day, they still celebrate it. But they didn't want any squabbling. This is, you know, something we might read right over, that the queen and Mordecai didn't want squabbling. What has happened today in so many churches is we're all squabbling with everybody. Over what? Music. Over this. Over that. And we have to guard against that. That is just not acceptable. Well, in chapter 10, it's very brief, but it tells us that Mordecai was so unlike his predecessor, Haman, he used his office to serve the king and to help the Jews. You can just see him. You know, sometimes when people get promoted to high office, they forget their roots and ignore the needs of the common people. Mordecai wasn't that kind of man. Those deeds were recorded in the land, but they're as important as recorded by the Lord and will be rewarded. At this time, there were forces at work opposing and threatening the Jews. In other words, this thing with Mordecai wasn't the only thing. It was simply a thing, but there was others that were after the Jews. And again, that's that anti-Semitism. I just don't want to get involved with that. So Mordecai was a friend at court for all of them. The exciting drama of Esther is over. I felt like I was closing the book on an old friend. And I wanted to know more, but God preserved the Jewish nation so that today we can have a Bible and a Savior. And now it's our job to tell the whole world about the Savior and seek to win as many as we can to the Lord. We are now the king's couriers. We dare not fail. You know, there's unsafe people all around us. Don't lose sight of that. Esther reaches out to us today and encourages us to be aware of lost souls, to reach out. We don't know how much more time God has given us. The king's irreversible law made the Persians to be able to kill off all the Jews. But we forget God has an irreversible decree for us. The soul who sins shall die. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And you can go to church every Sunday and still not have the Lord within your heart. You need to examine that. Don't put that off ever. Make short accounts with him. And if you've never come before him, just do it today. Go home and say, Lord, I want to be your child. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be a part of your family. Present yourself to him and then ask him to help you to live for him and to reach out to others. There's so many people are looking for answers. They're trying all kinds of things than what they should. Lord, we come before you and ask that you might help us to be your women of the word, that we might share who you are with others, and that there is hope for the future, and there's a wonderful kingdom to come. And Lord, we pray for that kingdom to come. We want it to come. Seems like it's been so long in coming. And yet one day we'll all be together. I just can see that heaven's going to be so fun. And to hear God laugh, won't that be wonderful? Anyway, Lord, thank you that you've called us to yourself. And we just want to live for you in a wonderful way. Help us not to lose sight of that. And we pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.